just want you to just rejoice with me. Just take this time to rejoice with me. Hallelujah. I don't want this to be a private party. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! See, instead of you having to come over this week and bring food and come in and tell us how much you loved us, how much you... We don't have to go through all that. Jesus. Feel like I've received somebody back from the dead. Hallelujah. You know, one minute, I'd say, calculating her speed and the... Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. 1 minute, calculating her speed and the place in the road. She hit the embankment and flipped. I thought she rolled, but the best I can tell, she flipped. Went end over end. And then probably rolled. 1 minute, the Holy Spirit came in the car and said, now she's always good about this, but that day, for some reason, she didn't have it on. The Holy Spirit came in the car and said, put your seatbelt on. 1 minute. When they brought her out, they said, if you hadn't had your seatbelt on, you wouldn't be here. It was in the field here until before service tonight. Now, I don't care. I feel like David, when he come in and he danced his clothes clean off his body. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to dance them off. I wouldn't care if it offended you. I feel like the Father that's received the Son back from the dead. Hallelujah. You didn't have to bake anything. You didn't have to bring anything and say, Pastor Bronk, I'm so sorry. Isn't God wonderful? Jesus. Homer, you know, you just work with these kids year after year and you never know. You send them off to school. They grow up. One of the first things she told us the other day, too, she goes, Mom, I never forget what Pastor Homer always said. You never know. You better be ready. Truck, car, something. If you walk out of here. Well, he's teaching those ones that are on that level. But it stuck with her. She knew she was ready. But she said, in that moment in time, her car's flipping end over end, all that stuff came back to her. Isn't God wonderful? Jesus. So, let's just party. That's all I know. Somebody drags the flags out or anything, it's a party time. If I had steaks being cooked tonight, we'd all eat after. Eat and drink. We might not have too much wine, but we'd just be merry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You don't have to come to a wake or a funeral or anything. We can just rejoice. Hallelujah. I worship you. Hallelujah. All right. We're just going to continue to rejoice. Not just in my rejoicing of my daughter coming back from the dead and being saved, but in everything He's doing for you right now. One time I was on the edge of bankruptcy and I was worried I was going to lose everything. And my little baby that's not much bigger than David, the one that just had the wreck, she got lost. They brought cops all in. We thought she'd been abducted. We searched for her and searched for her and searched for her. The neighborhood came out. It was the longest 45 minutes of my life. I was up, tossing and turning night after night. But when they found her and she was alive, you know what money meant to me? I slept like a baby from that point on. The trial was over. I could have cared less what they come and got. I had my baby back. I had two babies. And I can tell you this. When they're almost gone and then they're here, it money, jobs, problems, life, just doesn't matter. anymore. All you can say is all that really matters. You've given me the best of it, Father. You've held them together on this planet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you know why that father, when he said, my son that was dead, now he's alive. Why he rejoiced. He rejoiced. But I can tell you this, and we'll go on. I can tell you this about peace. This is the peace that you and I are walking in. This is why I know we'll have a revival. Not even right now so much of the miracles. The miracles are coming, but they're sparse at times. But I can tell you about peace. When I got the call, what I feel right now is what I felt then. I'm talking about judge sober. Now, it did help that I could hear her voice and that all I could say is, honey, if you're talking, you're not dead. But just knowing that the car was totaled and everything was gone, it didn't matter. It didn't even shake a little bit. We're walking into something that's called peace that passes all understanding. And let me tell you something about that peace. It'll not only keep you in the trial, it's the same kind of peace that keeps them from dying. She was up early to talk to Mom and Daddy this morning. You know, that stuff will do that. She was walking in a good place prior to that. I didn't have any concerns about her salvation or anything like that. But I'm telling you, she wanted to talk a lot this morning. She said that she knew the girl that died a couple months ago. She's going a lot slower. And just hit a tree. She said, Dad, I can take you. The tree's not even hardly marked. And she died on the spot because she didn't have her seatbelt. 1 minute before it all happened, God said, put your seatbelt on. You know He'll do all that for you because we're all on this path. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship You. Martin and Rosie, you received one back. We've all received them. Hallelujah. We're going into something. Hallelujah. So we worship Him. Man, thank You, Father. So what are we worshiping around? His Word. His faithfulness of His Word. My God. Jesus, I worship You. Praise and magnify You. Glorify Your name. Hallelujah. Hey, did I tell you God saved my daughter's life this week? I forgot to tell you. Now, if they had just run one in from the outside on a 4th and 1, and it made the difference. I've been with all of y'all. Y'all jump up and say, that's what I'm talking about. He brought somebody back that I, woo, that's what I'm talking about. We taught last week, we said, these don't bring the presence of God in. I know that. They're just like a good burp after a T-bone steak. They're just an expression of joy. I'm saying He did something good. Listen to this. This is what David's 119. It's 176 verses. Every verse talks about the Word, the law of the Lord, and loving His. Do you know, I want to tell you where you're headed. This is not like one time event. I want to tell you a lifestyle that you're going to grow old in doing. Let me prophesy to you. This is what David said. He said in 165 of this 176 verses, he says, great. He didn't say peace. He said great peace. He wanted to accentuate it. He said, great peace. Great peace have they which love thy law. That's this right here. That's that canon of Scripture right there. Great peace have they that love thy law. And look what he said. Listen. He said, nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing shall offend them. And he's not just talking about not getting mad at each other. That's part of it. He's talking about not, the word offend is the word in the Hebrew stumbling. Nothing will take your peace. You say, that is impossible, Pastor, that you get to, I don't know if that's possible. Is that, if it wasn't possible, he wouldn't have put it there. But I can tell you how it's possible. It's all possible if you read into it everything. What is the prerequisite to get into a place where you never, nothing ever takes your peace? Is there a place like that? Oh, yes. Here tonight? No. I'm talking about tomorrow, the next day. How is it? Look what he says. Now listen to what this, he says, look. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But what, why? Because he said, great peace have they that love. That word love is, it says, infatuation. Love thy law. What is it that brings great peace? It's a continual, ongoing. In fact, he put longest book in the Bible, he put 176 verses in here, and every single one of them says, I love thy law. I love thy precepts. Early will I read your precepts. This and that. The verse just before it, it says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of the righteous judgments. This man was saying, with all honesty, there's a place that you can walk free of any worry. How so? When you have an infatuation with this word and you get lost in it. So much. Did you know that there's been kids put on the witness stand? They said, why did you kill that person? Well, I was so entrenched with this video game, this computer game, something like Dungeons and Dragons or something. They got in there, and month after month, they put their mind, they went through this maze, they went through that, and they got that command, and it actually took them to a place where it commanded them to go take the kid's life, and they were so infatuated with it, it took them over. How much more so will the Spirit of Truth, if you get inside of these rooms called the 66 books, and you live inside of them, and you get infatuated with them, you'll get to a place. You know, I have yet to have anybody call me, but I'm going to have somebody call me one night and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm under extreme pleasure. I'm addicted, Pastor. What? You're addicted? Yeah. I keep slipping off the motel rooms and getting in the Word. I was caught in the park last week, and I was just memorizing scripture. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm infatuated with the Word of God, and I have lost the place of worry. I can't find it. People say I'm a roving idiot because everything they tell me, nothing offends me. This is the place that you and I are coming to. Hallelujah. Woo. I can tell you, I haven't been there enough, but I can promise you one thing. I'm going to sit in front of these 176 verses and worship Him and say, God, the same thing that was on David, put on me. I want to have some kind of infatuation where everything that I do, I just keep this thing hidden on my person. Are you toting? Yeah, I am. I'm a toting Word of God. Hallelujah. Worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Could you get to a place like that? Oh, that's where all of us are headed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you where He's going with all this, with all of where we're headed. Tremendous harvest. It'll be our joy in the days ahead. The rejoicing that we're doing, go from rejoicing back to worship, and then who knows, 10 minutes from now we may be back into rejoicing. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's our strength, Gay. And I didn't get up this morning and say, boy, I'm so happy, I'm so thankful, I'm going to go tell everybody. You know, my daughter was saved alive. I didn't think that. We usually get up pretty early, and this morning we were a little bit later because we'd been going pretty hard the last couple of days. And so I went down for a quick, maybe 45-minute workout. And, you know, I found out about this about God. If you'll just give Him the opportunity, He'll make room for you. If you just say, okay, God, I'll just... And did you know what I found out? It doesn't take no time at all. It just seems like you'll just move fluently with God, and He brings people across your path. Let me tell you, I'm not big on formulas. I'm big on fellowship. But I can tell you almost a formula. If you're having a bad day, find somebody to witness to. Make it a point to witness. Because even legalistically, It'll do something for you. Our hearts are going to that place where you won't have to do it legalistically. One of the old timers I read about, heard about, I really think it was Smith Wigglesworth. He committed to the Lord to win. It was either Smith or John, but I think it was Smith because I think it was in England where this happened. He committed to winning a soul a day. And one night he got in bed and he laid down and he was laying there and he thought, oh my God, I didn't win anybody today. Now a soul a day. I don't even want to tell you when the last person I personally just talked through to salvation. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Smith Wigglesworth. He said, I'm going to win a soul a day, Lord. Bone tired, he laid down. He's about to go to sleep. He said, come to him. I didn't win anybody. Now, you know what I'd have done? I'd have said, God, you know, maybe forgive me and we'll start over again tomorrow. You know, that'll be the... He dressed. Walked through the city till he found a little coffee shop, I think it was, that was open. And not one of those all-night deals. Went in there, shared the gospel and got the guy born again and went back and got in bed. That's commitment. But that's love. Something's got to make you love. You've got to have some kind of agape love that we're going to. It was like all day long, you know, the first part of the day. I went into the gym and the first person I met, you know, this guy was asking, oh, man, I've been by your house. What happened to that car? I said to my daughter, he's a Baptist boy. And I share that testimony. He goes, oh my God. Oh my God. So I'm going at it. More than I go in, nobody's there. And this big guy was working out. So I take my iPod off. And he's about to leave. And he says, I said, how you doing, buddy? Because I shake everybody's hand in there. And I can't get around to witnessing to them. And he said, you're Pastor Braun. I said, yeah. He goes, man, how you doing? I said, good. He said, weren't you supposed to be in that contest? He said, weren't you all messed up? He goes, my cousin Ricky told me that you got messed up. He goes, I told him he's not hurt because I seen him the way he's working out. He's going like crazy in here. And I said, no, God healed me. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, I was watching you this morning, the way you were living. He said, it was unbelievable. He said, you're not hurt at all. I said, no, I'm good. And I said, there's a few things that I can't, you know, do right now, but I said, I'm getting better every day. And he goes, man. And then I shared the witness about my daughter, about Davy. And he's, oh, my God, that's amazing. That's amazing. It touched his life. You know, and then you can just go about your day and God will bring them all in if you want to witness. And so I'm just going about, and then I can't remember, somebody else came in. This lady, she came in. She said, how you doing? I said, good. She goes, you still run? I said, yeah, but my wife's running with me now. She goes, really? I said, yeah, because she got a miracle in her body. So I share with her. And then I come home and called my insurance. And I'm not even trying to do this. See, this is the joy of the Lord. It's coming on all of you. Called my insurance agent. I had to change something, Lynn Hushin. And I was telling her, she goes, how's your family doing? I said, well, good, because we got a miracle. Told her later, I said, the best Father's Day gift ever. My daughter's alive. She goes, and I told her the whole story, and she goes, oh, she's not a believer. She goes, oh my God. She goes, I'm about to start crying. Because you always give Jesus. You always end it. The guy comes and picks the garage comes and picks it up to haul it off. I guess it's total, you know. And the guy, he looked just like that guy from Orange County Choppers, the daddy. He was big, and he was a little bit shorter than him, but he was big. He had a tank top on. He looked rough. So he goes, you're in this? You're in this? I said, no, I wasn't in it. My daughter was in it. He goes, my God, is she all right? I said, yeah, she's good. He goes, oh, good, good. And I said, I told him the whole story. He goes, oh, my God, that's great. That's great. He goes, well, I lost my boy last year, 21 years old. He got killed on a motorcycle right out here at Lehigh. So I got a chance to talk to him. And I got a chance to say, look, see that church right there? That's where I pastor. But I said, churches don't save you. Jesus Christ does. And it's just been a day like that. Ping-ponging off. Boom, boom. But you know where he's going with all of us? A harvest of souls. It didn't take, I bet all accumulated time, it didn't take 10 minutes out of my day to share Jesus Christ with a half a dozen people. 5 or 6. He's going to put people in front of you every day. He's wanting you to touch their lives. Because pretty soon, this place is going to be absolutely nonstop packed. Hallelujah. And you're going to try to figure out which service you want to come to. And I think that now we're getting to a place that the same anointing that confession is working on Friday nights and all during the week. And if you're not here on Friday nights, that's not an indictment. I know you're part of the church. I'm just saying what we're doing here on Friday night and everybody else, what they're doing, is bringing us all into a place where the glory of the Lord is saturating this city and getting it ready for a harvest. It's tilling the ground. And it'll anoint you if you're not even in this city, wherever you're at, and you speak the word. And I found out this too. I'm not even thinking about it anymore. I used to think about, what is this person going to... The more I've entered into that joy, and you will too, if you're having a little bit of a problem, if there's a little bit of a timidity, if you'll just do it a little bit, after a while you'll get on a... it'll start perpetuating itself and you won't even think about it. You just won't even think about it. You'll be into it before you realize it. So I call them all born again. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you this. Like, I was worshiping him this afternoon, and I said, now he likes this kind of stuff. I know how to sweet talk him. I said, you know that I love what I'm believing you for, the revival. And I'm talking about even right down to the little babies and all that stuff. Any of the most precious little thing you can talk about being healed. But he knows this. And it's a selfishness that's the right kind. I said, more than all that, what I'm seeking you for, it's because I love you. And I love that place of intimacy that I have with you. See, I'm on a kick to try to find how many more ways can I get Jesus inside my person. He's already there. But I'm talking about the reality of who He is. His love. His peace. His intimacy. You know, once you cue in onto Him, it's like a radio station. And I have not arrived. I'm not saying that. So don't please think, oh, pastor just hears Him. No. But when I do get it tuned in real good, I find out that He talks all the time. He just talks and talks. And He'll call you Bronc. He'll call you by... Listen, if He knows you, do you not think that He'll call you by your name? He'll say son sometimes, but He'll just say... Bronc, you know, He'll just intimacy, peace. He's a real Lord. He's real. And He just talks and talks and talks and says a lot of sweet stuff. And even when He corrects you, it doesn't even sound mean. Even when I'm trying to help you out, sometimes it'll sound mean because I'm still human. When He corrects you, if you're in a love relationship, it'll sound like He's saying the sweetest thing to you. And you'll just start crying, God, I'm sorry, forgive me, but why? You said it so sweet. Why'd you say it then? His correction is sweet. Some people know a mean God. I haven't met Him. You know, when he sends people, because He doesn't send them there, but when He separates the sheep from the goats, because there is a judgment. Don't mistake that His love disregards judgment. But even those who go off into eternal judgment, did you know the moment they go there, He'll always love them. He'll always love them. His love didn't stop there. He still loves the people that are in hell. But He couldn't do nothing about it to stop it. Because He's already provided one Christ. And He can't send another one. And that's it. We've got a responsibility. We're going to get, as the redneck says, we're going to get her done by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I would, if I were you, I would take, now this is just a suggestion, because sometimes people are wondering, how should I pray? What's some good things to do? I'd take Psalms 119. And I'm not saying you do it every day, but do it a few times. read through it, and ask Him. You know, a few weeks ago we asked Him that the sights and sounds of revival would come on us, that we'd start to see that. I'm spiritually see that. Taste it and smell it. Get orientated to it. You know, if you want something bad enough. But the Bible says for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the shame. He despised the shame. Endured the cross. And for that joy. See, I'll tell you what will make your race a lot easier. Corporately, we're believing for a revival. Individually, I hope you're believing for a revival. But even your walk with Christ, why am I on this walk? If you'll ask Him to orientate you, take your senses to a place where you've got something in front of you where you're seeing it. There really is a divine imagination. We all use our imagination. Everybody in this room uses your imagination, whether good or bad. You can take that imagination and ask Him and begin to ask Him to... And then I found out He'll get involved in your imagination. And you'll begin to... It won't get flaky or weird if the Holy Spirit's in it, but you'll begin to see the sights and the sounds and the feelings. You'll absolutely get those feelings inside of you. And then He'll start coming to you with people. You see, when I saw that Orange County chopper guy, that was a guy that most of the time I thought, I'm not gonna, you know, my senses said this. I knew I had witnessed to about five people earlier. And I said, that guy's rough. I wasn't scared of him. Like, man, he may want to fight or something like that. I wasn't scared like that. I thought, there's no need to even, he's rough. He'll probably cuss a lot. That was the flesh. The flesh sees one thing. The flesh will judge a book by its cover. The Holy Spirit just opened it up just like that. And then the guy wanted to talk to me about his son that got killed last year in Lehigh on a motorcycle, one of these little rockets. People are hurting. They're hurting. Mean, ugly looking people that you think, oh, they're going to take my head off if I say it. They are hurting on the inside. They want Jesus. You've got the answer. It's, my God, so what if they cuss you out? So what? You can take a cussing for Jesus. Just duck if they swing. And if you have to, I'm just kidding. We can bring Frank in here and give you some self-defense lessons. You can pick him up after you've knocked him out. No. We had a wonderful time with Pastor Frank on Sunday. And Sunday night was just as good. I think there was as many or more people in here Sunday night than there was Sunday morning. I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for what God is doing among our teenagers. I'm not saying that to patronize Homer or Rosie or anybody else that helps out or Matt or in the bus. I'm telling you, I'm so thankful the Holy Ghost is on our teenagers in a powerful way. It's just a wonderful thing that we've got favor with the people that we've got favor with. Lieutenant Dolan was in here. He's the head man. All the cops in this area. And don't judge, he tells me, you know, he says it's like pastoring. He says I've got a lot of people they don't reflect him. You know, you may see one that says, my God, that's not the way, you know, but that doesn't reflect him. He's got 50-something cops that are under him. Everybody that's in Immokalee is under Lieutenant Dolan. Pray for Lieutenant Dolan. Amen. But he was sitting back there with his wife, and they come up and they said, my God, this was so good. They were so blessed to hear the testimony. He's going out there to be with Frank for about a week. So they got hooked up. I knew they'd get hooked up. But he said, his wife was standing right here, and she said, oh my God, that was just a wonderful service. And she goes, this is such a wonderful, awesome youth group. It's just so awesome. She was just carried away with the service. I think the worship touched her. And I don't think they're charismatic or anything. Another guy that was from the Baptist church called me the next day and he said, my God, that was a powerful service. But he wasn't just talking about Pastor Frank. He said, that worship service was something else. Because the worship service was something else. And it was so powerful. And so I said, oh my God, I know it. It was just so wonderful. And I want to tell all of you that, well, this is pastoral, so I'm just going to tell you like your family. And this may be buttering you up to some degree, but it's worth it. You're the best givers in the world. Amen. And it's where your heart's at. Pastor Frank, besides for what you gave to the church that day, which we needed, the church needs to have its, but there was almost $4,000 that came into him. Hallelujah. And that's really wonderful. And nobody threatened that your kids were going to die the next day or your cars were going to. And it's just, it's powerful. It's powerful. And I just want to say to all of you givers, thank you. I love you so much. And you know, the thing of it is, when you do that though, you press me to stay in there. Because I know it's working. I know your heart is opening up to God and you're diligent in your giving. And so now I just gotta keep, you know, I gotta keep fasting and I gotta keep praying, and you press me into the prayer closet. And see, because number one, I can't let him down. And then I do have an obligation to you. And that's not a respecter of persons. But the fact of the matter is, you have an obligation to me. And to the person next to you. The Word says none of us live or die of ourselves. Well, I'm just going to live this walk on my own. You can't. You can't. Not according to the Word. We're all one body. Frank says sometimes that he doesn't go into them, but sometimes a lot of people call him, churches will call him. He said, I had a church called him a few weeks ago, and he said, I have to weigh it out. He says, I go out for the ministry. But he said they called a church call that had about 1,500 in it a few weeks ago. And Tripp, the guy that nickname, I know his name, but I can't think of it. But he said, well, look, my pastor, if he's going to go away on a Sunday, you know, they said, well, how much does he need? They said, no set offering. I mean, no set honorarium, but we just ask an offering. And the guy said, well, how much do you think? And you know, Tripp was like, I don't know. What are you thinking? He said, well, they had a 1,500 member church. He said, well, the guy told him, said, I don't know, like, what do you think about $300 or $400? But see, you don't know that, and I hate to tell you that because I don't, but I trust you. See, if I tell you that stuff, you might think, well, I don't have to. No, I know. I know that those of you that worship God and are walking with Him, your heart just keeps getting open to God to give. And so you put an obligation on me. You make me go back in week after week. Please pray for me in the next couple of weeks. I know I'll be going back in for a couple more seeking times, and I ask you to pray. There'll be kind of a series. But so you shouldn't tell that. Oh my God, you guys are far enough along now. And we should all be talking about it to some extent, not throwing it around as a buzzword, but privately saying, okay, I'm going in for 4 or 5 days. Pray for me, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Fasting's a big part of it, people. It's going to be a big part of it as the last days get here. It's a part that Gary Carpenter said, you know, he's one of the greatest word men I've ever known. He said, I finally came to a place, he said, the Lord took me to that place where He said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. And He said, I'm telling you, the Lord told him, He said, the revival that you're seeking, you're not going to receive it. You must have the prayer and you must also have the fasting. And so we're going to have to do it. God will schedule it for you. I don't necessarily like it myself. I like to buff up in the weight room and then I lose 15, 20 pounds and look like I got to start all over again. But hey, what's that to little kids getting out of wheelchairs? I love Him, don't you? We're going in somewhere. Accountability. Hallelujah. So he said $300 or $400. So thank you for giving $4,000. Hallelujah. I think that's what they got last year. Something like that. I just worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those guys are 30, what did he say, 37 guys, and most of them young. And so the attrition rate sometimes, I'm sure it's better than normal programs. But what if they keep them there 2 years and they go back out and do the same thing? That's still 2 years that God kept them alive, because most of them be dead in a crack house. And even if it's bought time, you say, well, they just went out, what did it do? No, it bought time to get them a little further down the road to maybe one day waking up. Because most of them are going to be dead in their 20s or 30s. So, I mean, even if the week after they get out, they go out and crack up again, it bought them 2 years or a year if they stay that long. A lot of them will stay a year after they stay the 90 days. It just buys them time. For some people, not the revivalist, but there's a scripture, I think it's over in Peter, it talks about some getting in, singed by fire. Some of them will get in by the skin of their teeth. Now that's not you and me. We're going to walk in, not with pride, but with a lot of assurance who we are. But some will get there and thank God, if they weren't wearing asbestos underwear, they'd probably be singed, because they're going to have they were just riding the line. But we want to get them all in as much as we can. Hallelujah to God. You'll probably have a corner over there like angels will have fire extinguishers putting them out. That's how close you were. You wouldn't hardly get out of the lust and stuff until, thank God, the trumpet sounded. You're right on the line. I'm not going into that. I'm not going into anything. You got a commentary in the back. I'm not into it. Preacher's up front. That's love. That's love. We're, nothing shall offend you. My God, where are you walking at, man? So we're in a place where that harvest is coming in. And it's being opened up to us day after day. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You've heard me mention a couple times in the details. Monday, we were supposed to leave with Frank and Tina, which we do almost every year. And his brother Vince is a real estate agent, so he has a place that he rents out for a man, and they've got a condo on Sarasota Beach, and they always ask us up for a couple days. And so we were leaving to go up there with him. Davy had asked, could she go? And we don't spend a lot of time with her nowadays, because that's how teenagers are. But when they ask, you receive and say, yes, please. And so she went to get her cousin that was going with us, and she was on Alico Road, and it was about 11 o'clock in the morning. She went to pass some slow-moving dump trucks, and the one that was in front that she could not see had her turn. He had his turn signal on, went into her lane, and she veered, began to fishtail, going about 50 miles an hour, come off the road, went airborne. The people that pulled her out actually said they thought she rolled about 3 to 4 times. It was in a canal, not a ditch, because that's where, down where Yunkus Brothers are at, it's really not, I consider the canal, during rainy season, it'll fill up with 8 foot of water. So that's 8 to 10 foot of water, I'd say. So, 8 foot at least. And so she went off. They said she rolled, and from the distance, it would appear that she rolled. But the sides and the top of her car was perfectly preserved. The front end was completely smashed into the motor. It appears to me, obviously she was on the car, all four tires were up, laying in the bottom of the canal. But it appears to me the way that she did hit, because we were talking about it today, Candy and I, with no side or top damage. I think she actually came down, which is really more serious, and hit the other side of the canal straight on, and then probably flipped, and then maybe semi-rolled, and she was hanging upside down, totally coherent, battered and bruised, but no bones broken, and just that's it. She can get around fine. When she let her seatbelt out, she fell to the bottom of the car and crawled out the passenger side, and there was somebody there to pull her out. Hispanic guy, God bless the Mexicans of the world. The Latinos, glory to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So, that's what's so amazing is, this is where prayer and those kinds of things just make a big difference. Because I'm always talking to her, make sure you put your seatbelt on. And a lot of times, if I forget, I don't worry about it. And she's always good about that. She always calls us wherever she's at. And when she's headed home, she'll call us and always say, honey, do you have your seatbelt on? Yes, sir. Okay. So, 1 mile. I'm going to guess a mile. If I'm wrong, it's not much difference. Which at 50 miles an hour, what's that, a minute and a half or 2 minutes or less or whatever. 60 miles an hour would be a minute. So 50 miles an hour is probably a mile or so down the road. The Lord said to her, put your seatbelt on. She realized she didn't have it on. She said she felt real strange all of a sudden. Put your seatbelt on. She put her seatbelt on, and a minute later this happened. When they pulled her out of the car, they said, if you had not have had your seatbelt on, you would not have survived. So a minute separated all of eternity. I mean, she'd have been with us in eternity, but I'd have had to wait a lot of years to get to see her again. Isn't God wonderful? 1 minute. 1 minute. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Excuse me while I have a little father attack here. I worship you, Jesus. I magnify you and glorify you and exalt you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're so worthy. The Word is faithful. Faithful. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I exalt you. Bless you. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Psalm 170 or 119. No, you got to read it. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I'll walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Go stanza after stanza. At midnight I'll rise to give thanks to thee because of thy righteous judgments. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Remember thy word. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word has quickened me. Every verse honors the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your Word. We worship you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your Word will not change, will not be destroyed. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. My eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate. This guy stayed up all night long sometimes. All night long. Pounding the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Glorify you, Jesus. Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You know, stuff on the outside edges, or even stuff on the inside that's giving your flesh a fit. You'll take a journey into this Word somehow. Somehow. The Word just systematically. You know, all this stuff works. And I can tell you this, just like I talked about fasting a moment ago. You've heard me say it before. It's not saying it because I heard Dave say it. I'm like a lot of you, I'm living it. Worship won't give you what fasting will. But I can tell you this also, that fasting and worship and even praying in tongues won't give you what a meditation in the Word will. There's something you'll never get from God if that part of you is not working. And it's one of the strongest parts of your entire life is the Word of God. So fall in love with it. And you don't have to get anxious like, which one do I do first? Just ask God to... He said He'll cause us to lie down in green pastures. If you ask Him, Father, help me to find a pasture that feeds me, He'll lead you beside still waters. Now you've heard me talk about where to, you know, some of the easier chapters or easier books to go to. But you ask Him. Ask Him. And the Holy Spirit is so generous as a loving representative of the Father that all this Word works, but He'll actually take you to the pasture that you're supposed to be feeding in. The one that feels like, I can't explain it, it just feels like I can sit and read the Word and I can know that I'm not in the right place. But I can find that pasture, and that's a green, sweet pasture. Man, I'm right in the right spot. And don't get out of that pasture like you just, like, okay, I read 176, I read 119, and that was good today. If that pasture feels good, go back into that pasture tomorrow. And the next day, the best revelations I've ever got is when I get in a pasture and I just lay down in it. And I just stay there. Sometimes I'll be a month or two in one pasture. And sometimes really that's not even enough. Sometimes if you spent the whole next year of your life and this was your pasture, that's where you'd get fed. That's where you'd get fed. And that's where you don't really start getting fed until this stuff starts clicking. Even going over and over and over. When it starts really feeding you is when it starts all, when you've fed enough in that pasture. And I'm talking about the pasture of the Word of God. Something will begin to develop inside of you. It's so strong. Such a powerful thing. I can tell you, maybe I'll get in the area there that the Holy Spirit won't want me to go for different reasons. But I can tell you this. What can I tell Him, Lord? I can just tell you the Word of God. It is the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path. And if there's anything you can't live without, it's the meditation of the Word of God. I'm talking about for strength, stability, taking flakiness out of you. Kenneth Hagin was the most spiritual man, besides for Dave Roberson, that I know. I mean, there may be... And now let me tell you, he had visions that I haven't had and I want to have. I mean, he was literally taken to heaven. But let me tell you the balance of this man. And I can only tell you where he was at. You say, well, I don't know about that. He was so balanced that Jesus appeared to him at different times, 3 or 4 times. That's the other thing I like about him. He didn't go to heaven every day. You say, that wouldn't you like to go to heaven every day? I question that, folks. I question that. Paul didn't even record that kind of stuff. You need to question it when you hear somebody, well, I saw an angel and I seen 15 and I seen this. I'm telling you, we're headed towards revival, and it's okay with me if I never see Jesus in a vision. I want to, and I tell Him all the time, I'm open for any visions. But if I never see Him in an earth, if He'll just come and grow legs out, I think that'll be pretty good. That'll be, you know, I'll take that. Blind eyes. That's a pretty good swap off. But if He wants to come and give me a vision, that's wonderful. Don't ever seek visions. Because you may get the wrong kind. Don't ever seek them like, oh, I want to have one. God, please, please, please. He knows your heart, but seek Jesus. If He wants to give you a vision, some of you are having, I believe, God dreams, but don't seek dreams, seek Jesus. Don't seek vision, seek Jesus. Some people start seeking visions and they see some stuff that I just don't know about. And, the straightest man I ever knew, besides for Dave Roberson, was Kenneth Hagin. And his big deal was, now he believed in praying in tongues. Dave's is praying in tongues and the Word of God. I don't know anybody that's got more revelation, base, foundation revelation than Dave Roberson. He's the one that's taught all of us boys that if you like LaRue stuff, if you like Gary stuff, if you like Jim Martin stuff, I hate to say it, we basically all got the foundation of how to go in from Dave. And that's, you know, those guys get this tape and hear it and say, no, I got it on. I don't think none of them will. They got their own stuff. But I think we all count him as a father in that sense of the word. But Kenneth Hagin, word, word, word. And praying. But he was word, 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 word. Well, believe it or not, this word, 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 man, had more visions that I believe than anybody I know. One time he was in a tent, and the tent opened up. He was there, I think, at the close of the meeting, and Jesus appeared at the top of the tent and took his spirit. I mean, literally took his spirit. I don't know where your body can live and your spirit will be gone. God can put your body on hold. He took him to heaven, had a conversation with him. Two or three times in his life, not a whole lot of times, but two or three times Jesus in his glorified body. As far as I know, walk right through the wall. Not a vision. A vision's kind of like a dream. You know? But I'm talking about something that Jesus Himself walked through the wall and sit down and talk to Him like I'm looking at you. That only happened a couple times in 50 or 60 years of ministry. But you know what His foundation was? The Word. And you know what He said to Jesus? On one occasion, I'm not sure how many. He said to Jesus one time, this is amazing. Jesus was telling him something and he said, now look. And he did it respectfully. Obviously, Jesus knew where he was at. He said, if you can't show me scripture on this, I'm not receiving it. Now, if somebody walked through a wall and started talking to you, who are you to start saying, if you can't show me scripture on this? But Jesus taught him. See, he had been raised from the bed of affliction as a young Baptist boy. And I know the whole story. And the way that Jesus got him up was no angels, he didn't fast for it. He got him up by the Word of God. And he started saying, Mark 11, 23 and 24? And he just, whatsoever man, you know, believe, just believe when you pray, and you shall have it. He stood on the Word of God. And so his foundation was the Word. And it was so strong that even when he would have visions, he would tell the Lord, now Lord, if you can't tell me where this is at in the Word of God, I'm not going to receive it from you. Because he thought, you know, is this an imitation or is this a real thing? But hey, how many of us have gone to heaven lately? But what are you saying? His foundation was the Word. The Word. He loved the Word. So, Pastor, when we come in here from week to week, you're telling us to pray in tongues, and then you tell us the Word. Which is it? It's all of it. Fall in love with Jesus. And He'll so make it so easy for you that once you go to a place, well, I like to sporadically, one day I'm here, one day I'm there, get in a pasture. And roll around in that pasture. Make hay with that pasture. He'll feed you in a green pasture. What does that mean? Get in a place and stay there until you're just lost in it. You're just lost in it. If you stay two or three months in one chapter, that's probably about the best thing you can do. If He takes you there and does that, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Then some of you might start, if He can trust you, that you won't get squirrely with it? Some of you will start having some really powerful visions. Usually it's trusting you enough that he has to almost push you to make you tell somebody. That's the other thing. That kind of integrity kind of wants to keep things quiet. It's kind of like between you and the Lord until he says, open your mouth. Don't say anything. Keep it for a year or two. Can you imagine somebody having a vision with Jesus and then one day saying, well, I want to tell all of you something, that Jesus came in and this is what he said, and everybody knew that you were telling the truth because every week you didn't come in and see a vision? But you're walking in a place where everybody knew. And it'd be all right if one day you get to a place where you see a vision every week. But we're going someplace. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. How many of you feel like you just edified tonight? Comforted?
You feel led at times just to get in a certain part of the Word. Well, I had been feeling a kind of an oppression for the last few days. So this morning when I woke up, I was just tired of it. And the Holy Spirit was like, read scriptures on joy. And I had been confessing what we confess on Friday night, and once most of the time I'm in that right now, but I hadn't done Framing Your World for quite a while. I was doing the other one. What's that other one? Mount Hebron. Yeah, I was doing
that.
Those
are good ones. Yeah.
So anyhow, but this morning when I woke up, I was just tired of that, you know, and I was like, the oppression, and the Holy Spirit said, get into joy. So I remembered about Framing Your World. And I got into that, and I started reading the beginning of it, and I got into the peace part, and I was intending to read the whole thing, but I just got stuck on this peace part. And there was a scripture that said, I have peace like a river. The confession was, I have peace like a river, and righteousness is the waves of the sea. And I thought, now what does that mean? And I really just sat there, and I was just really getting fed. And it was like he was saying, I have peace like a river. And I thought, well, what about a river? And I started thinking, okay, the Lord just gave me this whole thing. The rain feeds the river. And his presence, his raining presence, feeds that river. But also there's streams and there's waterfalls up in the mountains that come down and they feed the river. And he said that was kind of like the revelation was the waterfall, when you get that burst of revelation, and the stream was like praying in tongues. And then he was like showing me that just like when we're in a river, like in a tube, we float down. And the next scripture was, we go out with joy and we're led forth with peace. And he started showing me how, like when you're in a river in an inner tube, that river is just carrying you, so we're led forth with peace. But sometimes there's little curves in the river, and we get kind of stuck, you know, with the tube off to the side. And we have to use our hands to get back in the stream and get out of the, you know, swampy, grassy part. And that's kind of like, you know, when we're praying in tongues or speaking the word or worshiping, it gets us back into that main flow, and then we're led, you know, led forth. We go out with joy, but we're led forth with peace. So it was like so good. And then then I knew he wanted me to get into joy because that was the point of the whole thing, but I had gotten stuck on the peace thing. So then I went into the joy thing, and he was just showing me that, you know, your word makes me glad.
Hallelujah.
And I started looking up words like glad and peace and joy, and it was just so cool. And it just confirms what Pastor's saying, you know, the Holy Spirit knows. And I had been in worship, like a season of worship in tongues, but the Holy Spirit knows. And I even hung up the phone and I called a friend that I knew had been depressed yesterday, and they were having some pain. They had had a really rough night, and I got to pray with them. But the other thing was, I just told them, I was like, I just was in the Word, and I just feel like a hungry man that just got fed, or a thirsty person that just got a drink. That was so, amen, so good. So I just wanted to share.
Hallelujah. How many of you know, when God's speaking to you, now He'll speak the precepts. That's the essence of the Word. But when He's speaking to you, He's not talking about chariots. And He's talking to you about inner tubes. Or He's talking to you about something that's pertinent to you. Okay? Even when a person prophesies. Now, if you hear a person in here prophesy, I don't want to negate somebody and make you think, well, I'm going to... But judge. I want you all to have the righteous kind of... You judge and don't say a word to anybody if you think it's one way or the other, you know, unless it's somebody really, really spiritually mature. But also judge this. The Holy Spirit, if He gets opportunity, doesn't speak in Elizabethan, like that's King James. Because, first of all, it wasn't even written in that. The Holy Spirit speaks just like, okay, we were over there, and you know, or I mean, if you're Hick or you're whatever you are, He'll speak in your vernacular because He wants you to understand it. And His mentality is a million times greater, so He can gear down to us and just talk to us where we're at. He doesn't talk to you like even the thus and these and all that stuff. That's God, but it's not God. You can put it in your own words. So that's the way He wants you to do it.
Hallelujah. I just want to give this testimony because I got to give God the glory. I've been just praising Him, worshiping Him for a few days now. But, you know, on Sunday morning, not this past Sunday when Frank was here, but the Sunday before, I was up there in worship, and worship was just glorious. And I happened to notice my children up here in the front, and I remember... While I'm worshiping, I'm thinking in my mind, God, I want them to be able just to feel Your presence so much, you know, and I want them to know that love that You have and how real You are. And I'm just having this all go on in my head, you know, as a mother. I want this for my kids. And He just says to me, Candy, look where your kids are, you know, and I looked down. I was like, oh yeah, they're right here in His presence, you know, and it was like, here I am just saying, God, I want them to be feeling Your presence. I want them to have more of You and let them open up to You and all this. And He draws my attention and says, right on the front row, all three of them, right there in His presence. And that just blessed my heart. He drew my attention to that they are right there in His presence and receiving all God has for them. And then Sunday night, Davy had a dream Sunday night. And I'm going to tell a little bit of her testimony. She's probably going to share this herself, but she had a dream that there had been an accident in her car. She wasn't in the car, but the person that borrowed her car had rolled it over and had gotten killed. And it scared her so much that when she woke up about 2 a.m, she called that person to ask if they were okay. And that was on Sunday night. And then Monday morning, of course, the accident was that morning. And I believe that that's a part of God just preparing her to wear her seatbelt, because she told me later after the accident, she said, Mama, do you remember how you used to tell us to listen to that feeling in our belly? She goes, I had that same feeling that you've taught us about, that we've taught them about the discernment and how that it's in your belly, and we know that's in your spirit, but when they're children, you say that feeling in your belly. And she said, I felt that feeling, and I looked, and I didn't have my seatbelt on, and so that's why I put it on. And she paid me the most wonderful compliment on my way in. Took us about 45 minutes to get to her. And, you know, I'm talking to her most of that time on the phone, trying to comfort her. But not one time did I break down and begin to cry or act anxious. And she said to me, Mama, you don't understand. My car is upside down in the ditch. And she was, I think, wanting me to cry or show some emotion. And I said, honey, I'm being strong right now for you. But really what it was, I had so much peace knowing that she was going to be okay that I didn't cry until I got there, of course, and seen her and seen the car upside down. Then I held her and cried with her. But the peace of God is so amazing that to get a call like that and hear your child crying on the other line, and just that peace just is so overwhelming. And so it was just His peace, you know. Yes. I just wanted to thank God. Amen. For that we can get. Amen. To a place in Him. It really does pass my understanding.
Yes.
I don't know how else to say it that I didn't start crying or screaming. And I did hurry to try to, I first heard it on the phone. She left a message, and I wasn't there to get the message. So while I'm checking the message, so then she's calling the house phone. So I had heard before I actually talked to her crying out over a message. But trying to call her back, I got a little anxious trying to dial the number for her sake, wanting to let her know I got the news. But I thank God for that peace.
Amen.
That was there. And it's always going to be there. It just gets gooder and gooder.
You know, gooder and gooder.
It's always there.
Excuse us, school teacher. That is the prerequisite to revival is peace. And actually, while I was calling people, you know, even certain family members, you just try to preface things like that. That's not the first time that different things have happened in our life or your lives. We're no special group as pastors, but I do ask you to pray for us, pray for the leadership, and we're praying for you because we're all going into revival, and He doesn't like us. That dark side doesn't like us. And now, if he could have, and it was just a 1 minute difference, he would have done something, but he just couldn't get it done. That's authority. That's that grace of God. But I was calling people, and you try to preface it because some people, you know, you just know they're not as far as peace. But you know, different people look at you and they say you should be acting real upset and crying and going crazy, but the peace of God will pass all understanding. And teach your kids from the time they're little that if once they're born again and the Spirit of God's in them, teach them, like Candy said, and you can do it your way. It's not mine and Candy's way. Teach them to listen to that inner witness. We told them, always listen, honey. Always listen. Listen around people. Listen around, especially, you know, because, and I'm not saying it because I'm worried about anybody in here, but I'll tell you, we grew up our kids telling them to listen. Whether it's elders in the church, pastors on the road, wherever you're at, listen. Listen to the inner witness. What are you saying? I'm talking about it'll protect them. It'll protect them. If you teach them, they get that sick feeling inside, come home. Call mom or daddy. Do this, do that. You teach your kids that there's a warning system on the inside of them. You teach your kids that the greatest thing they can trust. And when I was talking about that, that's not an indictment against anything. I'm talking about the outward signs of trust sometimes are betrayed by people because they don't understand that people need help in certain areas. And there's been church after church, and I'm not addressing a problem here. I'm just talking about a principle that you need to teach your kids. There's been church after church where people didn't teach their kids, and their kids were drawn aside and abused in some way. That needs to be addressed as far as from an eldership standpoint. But let me tell you the grassroots of it. Family is the grassroots. Teach your kids that there's a safeguard on the inside of them. Teach your kids from the very beginning there's something they need to listen to and they need to come and talk to you about if there's ever a problem. And sometimes it's not a problem, but you need to talk it through with them. Now that's some of the best teaching I've ever done right there. That's straightforward stuff, but it's good stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, you don't get shop talk like that all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I've had a good time.